to the joint meeting between the City of Morro Bay and the Cayuga Sanitary District for January 12th, right? Probably on here. Let the record identify yourself for the record. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes. If there's a red light, red, yellow, green light here. Marla, you may be first.
Good evening.
If I can interrupt you, Marla, just let the record reflect that Andy has shown up. Sorry. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Marla Jo Bruton, and I would like to make an inquiry. I know you don't answer questions right now, but I'm wondering what happened to the matter about the insurance on the wastewater treatment plant. It was on an agenda item earlier or last year. I believe it was a Cayucas meeting. I don't have the date right now. But that meeting ended without that agenda item being taken up or moved to another date. And so far, I have not seen that come back up. And I think it's rather important. And I'd like the public to know just what exactly it means to have or not have insurance on your municipal wastewater treatment plant and who's accountable for any damages and what have you. Thank you.
Thanks, Marla. We will address that at the end of this. Anybody else? Anyone? Hi, Barry.
Council, JPA, CSD, staff, Barry Brandon, Morro Bay. I've read the entire staff report and letters back and forth to the Coast Commission. I'm very pleased to see the direction we're moving. I think you have an element tonight that I think you should try to put on your agenda that we have a contract right now with MWH to build a wastewater treatment plant, and that contract is kind of like cheese in a refrigerator. It's growing mold. It needs to be, in my estimation, that contract needs to be terminated. Because when this project is done, wherever it's done, then you should go out to bid, because you're trying to make an alterations to the existing contract for anything we do is, I don't think, is probably the best way to do business. So I would recommend that you put it on the agenda to terminate that contract. And as far as contracts to terminate, I think that we have a lobbyist whose contract has been reactivated. I see that contract, I think, is inappropriate.
Through this and through this and through this big time. Who would like to address the insurance? Thank you for coming forward, Susan. Susan did most of the work on it, so appreciate
it. Good evening, council members and board members. Yes, we did quite a bit. Michael Foster and I did quite a bit of investigation on the insurance issue, and I think we looked at what was covered, we looked at what was not covered, if there was continuance of operations coverage. We went very extensively through the insurance, and I think that Michael and I got everything squared away. Hopefully, you know, he feels the same way. But we are currently insured, and we are in good standing with our insurance.
Thank you, Susan. Mm-hmm. I hope that addresses it for you, Marla, but you're always welcome to contact Susan and get all that correspondence if you like. Anything else, Council, looking this way? Bob?
Any other comments from Cayucas? And seeing none, Mayor Yates.
Consent calendar. Anybody want need to discuss? Oh, your time's up, Marla. It's okay. Everybody okay with A1? Are you guys okay before we take a motion? Need to discuss it?
Cayucas, any questions on the minutes, item A1?
Yeah.
Hang on, Hal has a comment.
At the bottom of page 3, it says on a motion by Cayucas that I made the motion, and later on it says I seconded the motion. I think the record should be amended there to show that Shirley amended it. or seconded the motion.
Good job. Thank you.
For the record.
Did you get that, Cindy? Cool. If you're okay with it, go ahead and we'll do it in reverse.
Hal, do you want to go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
I move we approve the minutes as shown there in item A1 of the calendar.
As amended.
As amended, I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any questions?
And first, looking back at the month of December, the major tasks involved a meeting with the Coastal Commission staff in their office in Santa Cruz on December 9th. And comments were exchanged at this meeting, and Coastal staff stated that their review was not completed and final comments would be coming early in January, and we did receive an email stating that there would be no further comments at that time. Also, in anticipation of the de novo hearing, communications and liaison services with Susan McCabe were reactivated effective January 1st. Also, I made contact with the Northern Chumash Nation representative to inform him on the status of the project relative to the archaeological services, and he was very satisfied and appreciative of the city's and the district's cooperation on this issue. And then finally, the website was updated to reflect new information concerning the project. And looking ahead in January, we did have a kickoff meeting with Susan McCabe, and that included Morro Bay and Cayuga staff and the DUDEC project manager and assistant project manager. And currently, there's coordination among all the members to prepare briefing materials that will be used to communicate with the Coastal Commission staff in the coming months. Also, something that is in the works that does not appear on your report is we are in the process of arranging a meeting with the Coastal Commission staff late in February to review additional work and analysis that's going to be submitted, assuming the contract amendment with the DUDEC is approved later on in the agenda. Thank you very much. That concludes my report.
Thanks, Dennis. Questions for Dennis? Go ahead, Noah.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Delsett, maybe I'm asking the council about this, but in regards to the lobbyist position, I'm surprised we are initiating this with anticipation of 4 months minimum for her to be under contract at the $12,500 a month plus expenses. We've already spent somewhere close to $43,000 with her already, and I really personally didn't see much value out of that. It seemed like we ended up at where we would have ended up with decision.
I consulted with Susan McCabe and others that are very familiar with the Coastal Commission appeal process, and I was informed that it takes at least 3 months, 3 months minimum, to prepare the briefing materials and to make all of the contacts with the 12 coastal commissioners, and also to receive feedback from them, and then return, if they do have questions, to satisfy any questions or concerns they may have regarding our project.
My concern is that that's her comments to you, and from the surface of it, it just seems like we're hiring her based on her statements about what it will take to guide us through this process. And so is she, what's her confidence level that we will end up with a permit?
Well, in answer to your first comment, I cross-checked this with other people, former coastal commissioners, and they very clearly advise that we do engage Susan McCabe's services early on, to be able to give us the best possible chances of communicating our project to the coastal commissioners, because it's a fairly complicated project with a long list of issues, particularly the reclamation. So I cross-checked it with them. Also, others that are familiar with the coastal appeal review process, people at the staff level that had no stake in the financial end of it at all, concurred as well that you really do need to start early and that it takes time to communicate and engage and get feedback from the coastal commissioners.
Yeah, I understand that, and I completely agree. I guess I find myself perplexed that we're resorting to this sort of position at this cost when there's obviously yourself, our other consultants, and our own staff that could be very capable at communicating the project. And I'm just uncomfortable with it, particularly since there seems to be no incentive for performance on this contract. She's essentially operating like she did before, where we bill her regardless of the work she's done and regardless of the outcome, and I'm entirely uncomfortable with that.
Anything else down here?
Bob? Any comments from...
Per meter, before the decision makers have even had the opportunity to decide whether or not we're going to approve DUDEC to continue work beyond the scope of their original agreement. So I don't know what it is until we've determined how we're going to assemble the rest of the information that my understanding is the Coastal Commission has asked for. What packet of materials is there for her to assemble?
What she would be doing is starting with some of the PowerPoint slide presentations that the City Council and the District Board have already seen, and editing those to make them appropriate and the kind of material that decision makers at the Coastal Commission would need to be able to come up to speed on the project. This stack of reports that I have here is hundreds and hundreds of pages of material, and it's not light reading, it's heavy reading material, and these commissioners get stacks of agendas on many projects. And so the Susan McCabe and company, her responsibility is to be sure that all 12 coastal commissioners have an opportunity to review and understand our project and the issues, the major issues that you as a council and board have been dealing with for months.
Aren't we sort of declaring to the public and to the Coastal Commission that regardless of the additional information that they've asked us to develop to sort of finalize the site study, we're proceeding before we've even gotten that information. So haven't we sort of, aren't we saying that we've already reached the conclusions that we're going to reach? Doesn't that kind of negate the validity of the study that we've done?
Well, we've been coordinating closely with the Coastal Commission staff, who are specialists on the Coastal Commission staff. They have on staff geologists and oceanographers and people that are highly specialized in this field. And so that has been our goal, is to address the substantial issues that were raised, which are very technical. And that's what the summation of all these reports is, as well as Coastal Act policies.
Okay. In future staff reports to us, it's useful for me to be able to separate what's kind of fact from opinion. And your reports, you know, things like the project is progressing very successfully. The analysis documents were submitted to the Coastal Commission staff have received favorable reviews. It's just, those are
Those are your opinions. Maybe we could find a way to kind of distinguish that from, or either identify those as opinions or submit to us information that supports those opinions. Because I'm not sure I agree with those comments. And the paragraph on page 2 begins with the premise for the initial work scope. I don't understand that paragraph. Could you explain that to me?
Yes, Mr. Bayer, I think we're still on item B1.
We are.
And I believe Mr. Foster is referring to
item C3. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
That's okay. I'll be happy to address that later.
Okay.
Any other comments from Cayucas? Seeing none, Mary Yates?
Dennis, there's a nexus between January 1st and April 11th having to do with Susan, correct?
Yes.
Maybe you could explain that, because I think the timing is being questioned here. And
anticipating the de novo hearing being on April 12th, Susan explained that the intensity during the hearing date month is very intense, and that she does not prorate her services for a partial month on the hearing date month, and so that's where we came out with 4 months of time.
But the end game is not necessarily the end forever of Mrs. McKay, but the purpose of starting her up now is because the focus is on April 12th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so I'm just trying to, people are questioning why now. Barry suggested that the timing should be after the fact. And of course, I think from my point of view, that now is the perfect time because we're trying to get votes lined up in our favor. That's her purpose.
That's correct. We are. Her goal is to receive favorable votes from the Coastal Commission for our project.
Thank you for that clarity. Anything else here? No? Okay. This is just a receive. It says direct staff accordingly. Are you looking for direction here?
No, thank you. Any comments you may wish to make other than that can be received and filed.
Nothing else on this side?
No, okay. We're good.
C1, who's going to hear that? Who's deal with that? Susan? We know why you're here, Susan.
Good evening again, and we have Rob Crosby here to present the 2009-2010 audit results.
I'm very sorry. You're absolutely right. Just went right by me. So I'm going to back up to the last item. Who wants to speak on that? I'm very sorry. Come on up. Oh. Hi, Nancy.
Nancy Bass. What is Mr. Delzite's bill to date out of the 250 original contract?
Okay. Hi.
Good evening. Richard Margetson, Cayucas. I was a couple minutes late for public comments, so mainly I'd like to know what was the length of that meeting, what were some of the discussion topics, and what were some of the concerns. You're on camera for the community. They're interested. The people in the audience are interested, and I think the community's interested, because that report was very lacking as to where we are in the last 2 months.
Okay. Hi, David.
Good evening. David Nelson from Morro Bay. I'd like to thank Mr. Foster for his statements. I couldn't agree less with the idea that we're on track and doing well. And this lobbyist, I read some of the reports in the audit today, and the amount of money that we're paying all the people that are working on this, and we don't have people like Noah or the mayor that can go to a Coastal Commission meeting and meet with these commissioners. I've interacted on many occasions with the Coastal Commission, and there are no better lobbyists than the people that are setting up here. You guys are supposed to be watching out for our town. You're treating the Coastal Commission like they're enemies. They're not enemies. They're asking you to do what's right. You know, and smirks are great, but, you know, the truth of the matter is if you had a project that had merit, you wouldn't need all this. You're willing to pay a lobbyist $50,000 plus expenses to do what any one of you should be able to do, because who knows better this project than the people that are sitting up here? To send out a lobbyist to lobby for God knows what, obviously not a really good project, or otherwise you really wouldn't need it. You have contact with the staff. The staff is your key to the commissioners. In my dealings, we dealt with the staff, and we were always welcome to the commissioners. He says there's three commissioners that are listening to our interest in our case. Well, let's go show it to them. Why don't you have the nerve to go there and do it yourself? $50,000, you guys are spending so much money. I mean, what's it up to, $5 million or something now? That's the rumors, I don't know. But, you know, when you add everything together, it's getting outrageous. And why aren't we doing this? I mean, all of you people could do this. I know you can. I've lobbied the Coastal Commission myself. And to say you can't means you're not reading anything and you don't know what this story is, because it's not under the table stuff we're looking for. We're looking for information that's as good as you think, and you've spent millions of dollars on it, so you must surely know what it's about. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anybody else?
Good evening. Marla Jo Bouton, North Morro Bay. I'll just begin with the agenda item here, B, old business. B1, status report on upgrade project as of January 1, 2012. I'm going to make a statement here that I believe that most of you sitting up there have no idea how long this upgrade project was supposed to be accomplished. Morro Bay, Mr. Inns knows, he's been here all along, which is questionable, actually, if you think about someone sitting on a board for almost two decades or longer. He knows all about everything. Has he shared it with you? Morro Bay Wastewater Treatment Plant and Cayucas has been under an administrative waiver from the 301H requirement of the Clean Water Act for 33 years now. We have been dumping less than the minimum treated quality of sewage into our ocean. It's deplorable. We're the last of the Mohicans here. I think Santa Barbara and Morro Bay. If you look at Santa Barbara and how big that metropolis is, and then you look at Morro Bay and Cayucas, there's such a drastic difference in the amount of work and the simplicity that we have here compared to a huge metropolis, and the ability that we should have as communities to get this right. It's shameful. I take issue with the status report on the upgrade project. If anyone is following the CCC staff comments, Morro Bay, they are looking for us to provide our own water supply.
Thank you, Marla.
One last question, Cayucas, is why is the sanitary district in charge of issues of water? The community should be.
Anybody else? Anyone? Bring it back to the board. Mr. Delzite, can you tell us what your contract, what we've paid you to date?
Yes.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's in the report on page four. Sorry. Yeah. To date, $129,727.
Thank you. Regarding the Coastal Commission staff meeting, Nancy, can't see you there. I think we're going to be addressing that in C3. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, a memorandum on that is posted on the website, too.
Thank you. David Nelson, why aren't we at these meetings? There's 12 Coastal Commissioners. Everybody I've talked to, including Cacho, who used to be a Coastal Commissioner, has said the only way to get a project through, and what everybody does, and I know somebody has mentioned there was one project, it didn't use a lobbyist, so I'll say 98% of major public works projects, major developments, hotels, you know, that go through the Coastal Commission, use the services of a lobbyist. You know, you're right, David, where there you are. Could we be doing this? Sure. But I think if I did it, I think you and others would be standing up here second-guessing me what I'm saying, and if Noah was doing it, the same thing would be happening to Noah. We have a lobbyist that's what she's focused on, is helping us get the votes to get this project through. And it's a everyday, it's a full-time deal. And with the entertaining and the lunches and the desk work, and I don't know how we would do it. But, you know, you're right. Could we do it? I suppose so, but I just see all kinds of traps there. And Marla dumping into the ocean in our waiver. The whole purpose of this project is to do away with this waiver. Yes, occasionally we go over, but 99% of the time we are within... And I apologize for that interruption. And apologize to those of you for forgetting about that. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me here tonight. And it's my understanding that everybody's pretty much hashed this financial statement out. That's my intent, to get it done before we get here tonight. And I think
pull that mic up a little.
What's your name? My name is Robert Crosby. I'm with Crosby Company, CPA. So what we've done this year is we've provided comparative statements. The board asked for that in the past, so we've provided that, so it makes it easy, an easy reference to see what's happened in the previous year versus the current year. Now, this is up through 2010. 2011 is fairly, we're pretty far along. I've given a list of demands to Chris so that she can get the info I need to get that audit done, and we hope to get that done before tax season. So this will be the earliest in a long time that this audit has been completed, or earliest has been completed. So the financial statements are, according to GAAP, we have provided the independent auditor's report on page one. This report is an unqualified opinion, meaning that we've found no discrepancies, no items that would indicate that we'd have to qualify the report or make it an adverse report. We've added an extra statement in the back so that we have an extra paragraph in our report, which makes it a little bit different than the normal. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into tonight, if you want to go right to questions or anything to that effect.
You know, I don't think we need to pick it apart. Why don't you go to the bottom line?
Well, the bottom line is it's kind of pretty much the same as last year. This is, again, year ending June 30th, 2010. If you look at the comparative numbers, primarily the only thing that's different than the previous year is the beginning of the construction in progress. We had some transfers made to fund that, and then there was also some reclassification of some expenses. The bottom line would be on page 3, the changes in net assets, operating loss about two-thirds of the way down, a little bit more than last year. We had some transfers in of $723,000, bringing the change in net assets to $215,000. This also includes depreciation, which if you add back that non-cash item, you're a little bit of a loss. That's $497,000 versus the $508,000 in the operating loss. So, yes, you are running a little bit at a loss, but that's not too bad. The page 2, the assets of the district, pretty much it's a flow-through type deal, so whatever is required, it's paid by the two agencies. Again, it's beginnings of the new project, and these numbers will change in the future. So I don't know if there's any other questions concerning this, but that's primarily the gist of this.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Crosby. Questions down here? Carla?
No question, just a comment that I really hope, and I get frustrated that it takes us a year and a half to get an audit. This is from June 2010, and I really think we need to work towards having something a little more timely than 18 months.
Nancy, George, Noah?
Yeah, I just had one comment. Not exactly. I know we've talked about this briefly at times, but with the insurance on page 3, and this might not be a question for you, Mr. Crosby, but we're seeing that number steadily climb. Seems like every year it's gone up, and we're looking at approximately $13,000 or so between 2009 and 2010. And I'm starting to get concerned that that's a trend that we're going to see annually. Is that going to be the case, or is there something special? I know we are seeing the floodplain be reanalyzed and so on, but can someone address that question for me?
I think that would have to be Susan. Sorry, Susan.
Probably pretty close to what the 2008 number was. But it's all based on the property values and the economic indicators, and they said that there was a positive adjustment for that year.
And are you familiar with what's probably going to be coming forward for this year?
I don't have that on me. I don't remember.
Okay. Thanks.
Good. Bob?
Can I ask a question, Susan, while you're up here? One other thing on the insurance. We spent roughly $60,000 in November building flood walls around the electrical equipment at the plant. Are we going to get any credit on flood insurance for doing that capital expenditure?
I couldn't answer that right now.
Okay. Can you bring that up to the agent that we've done that? Thanks.
Yes.
Rob, would you like to say something?
I can just add a little bit more to that. Being the floodplain manager, first we would have to do a floodproofing certificate and submit that to the insurance company. So we'll be preparing that floodproofing certificate now that the floodproofing is complete to show that it's been floodproof up to the elevation that we selected.
Thanks, Bob. Still your show here.
Any other questions, Cayucas? Mary Yates.
Thanks for doing the comparative financial statements. Those are gives us more better information.
We're going to make a good effort to get this done, like I said, before tax season, because I know that these numbers get old and they're pretty much outdated.
And what about addressing, when you say good faith effort to get it out by tax season, what about in the coming?
That's within the next week. So okay. I understand Chris has got all my info ready, so we're going to check that out next week.
So, I mean, I guess.
I can turn it around in 2 weeks if she's got all my info.
2 weeks works for us.
Yeah. That's,
okay. If we could
that's
cut,
the quickest.
If we could cut it in half from 18 months down to 9 months, I mean, that would be a big right. step in the right direction. It takes a group effort
There's
to make that
A lot
happen.
Of transition there. Joyce is no longer with them, and I think the transition moved nicely with Chris. So
great.
I'm looking forward to getting the next one done quickly.
Thanks, Mr.
And
Crosby.
And we can even do that even more quickly in the future. So.
Don't leave until we hear from everybody because there might be a question. Okay.
I'll crack my whip.
Thank you. Any of you?
Years that have just been completed. So just keep that in mind.
Thank you, Richard. Anyone else? Hello again, Barry.
Yes, Barry Brand from Morro Bay. The comment that we've had a little bit of an increase in operating loss was kind of startling. And I'm sorry I spoke out. But on page 3, it says in 2009 we lost $400,000, and in 2010 we lost $500,000. To me, that's a 20% increase in loss. Now, even if you run a newspaper stand, if you have a 20% increase in loss, you need some explanation. And there are about 5 items on that page that are glaring that need to be explained. And, for example, contractual services had a tremendous drop. Why? You had some there's some tremendous deviations on that page that they need to be explained by someone. And it's frightening to have it say, well, we lost a little more money. That's startling.
Thank you, Barry. Hi, Marla. Can you state your name for us, please?
Marla Jo Bruton. I believe in the JPA contract. I'm seeming to recall page 13, but I shouldn't do that without looking at it. Cayuga Sanitary District's property that they own within the wastewater treatment plant area. One of the things that I know that was a bonus for Cayucas is the deferred maintenance on the plan, so that at the time that we needed to upgrade, make a new plant, sell the property, the deferred maintenance would bring down the total cost of the property. That would benefit the Cayuga Sanitary District. I believe Mr. Enns's position on that would have been that Bruce is the responsible party, Morro Bay is a responsible party for keeping that deferred, for keeping the maintenance at a point where it's not deferred to the point that I strongly urge us to reevaluate the joint powers agreement. And I do believe that the reason for the losses that we're seeing now have something to do with somehow between Bruce and Mr. Enns. Credit to Bruce in helping Morro Bay not end up on the end of the big stick with Cayucas and that property value. Since Mr. Leivik came up here and addressed the flood proofing certificate for the elevation for the seawalls that were built, I'd like to, I know it's not directly related to the topic on the agenda, but I would like to know what that level that he said we selected was. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. Anyone else? Anybody? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Could you address Marla's last question?
Yeah, the elevation that was selected was originally somewhat arbitrary. In 2004, we had some minor flooding at the plant that entered the headworks, so we built a wall. We built a wall around the headworks to prevent that from happening again. The level that we chose for the flood walls actually corresponds to the height of the wall at the headworks. And I believe, based on the new FEMA map, we're very close to the new flood elevations that were covered in the letter of map revision for the FEMA flood map. But that's how we got it. It was originally very arbitrary, and it was just kind of, hey, we need to do something, and the work segued from there. But luckily for me, it seems like we picked a good number.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Any...
I'm going to guess from grade at the treatment plant right now at the headworks, we're probably about 30 to 32 inches above grade.
Any comments?
And I can give you an exact number if I go down and measure it tomorrow.
Go ahead, you ask.
Yeah, Mr. Brannon's question regarding some of the larger... On page three, our statements of revenue. Mostly, I think his question was pointed at repairs or contractual services and professional services. So, if someone could go over those, explain why, you know, what the difference is. That would address his question.
Okay, Bruce.
You know, at this point, I think I'd have to go back and review those numbers. I mean, off the top of my head, I might be able to take a stab, but I think it'd be better if we came, you know, if you want to have that come back and say, hey, this is where it changed, or maybe Susan can look at it and we can put a memo out to the council and the board or something like that. But off the top of my head, I'd really have to look at the numbers to tell you why those numbers changed.
Okay, just for the public, and actually for me, how would you... define contractual services versus professional services? That might help Mr. Brannon a little bit, but you know, get him to a point where he can. There's Ms. Slayton.
Who do you want to answer that question?
Whoever's most qualified.
Contractual services definition is what we're looking for at the moment.
And I'm not actually able to address that, but I think it could be that we've been working on changing the way we classify things. So generally speaking, a contractual service will be somebody that we actually have a written contract with, and professional services can be more consultants. It can be other people. Prior to the 2010 audit, we may have not been classifying things as carefully as we are now. So if you add the two together, and you add the two together in the prior year, you're looking at about a $57,000 difference between those categories. I really think that's what it is the way that we're classifying them, because Chris Brazzi, our payroll clerk, also does our accounts payable auditing, and she's been very... very thorough and very careful about reclassifying things to what she feels is a better fit. So a contract should be just something that we absolutely have a written contract with. And then if you look at personnel services, you're looking at about a $43,000 hit between the 2 years. That's the 4% increase that the employees received in salaries and also the increase in the PERS contribution.
Do you want to add something, Mr. Crosby?
Yes. Well, what we do is I...
Sorry. Not to be between the lines there, though, was there?
I just had to put that plug in there. And then this additional consulting services. So there's probably about 15 accounts there. So it's all broken out. So we can itemize it if you'd like.
Could you explain it? Isn't it true that the reclassification... I believe that a lot of this is the consulting work on the treatment plan that is subsequent, it's expensed on this statement, and then that's part, $256,823 of that has been taken out of the expenses and in effect, and capitalized. Is that...
I'd have to look at what was actually
I don't know where this 256,823 comes from on the... capital asset note 5. Mm-hmm. So I read that to mean that in these contractual services and professional services, $256,000 of that related to development on the treatment plant.
That makes sense.
I don't know why it wasn't put into construction and process to start with, but
okay. Well, the difference in the 1 year had the construction in progress, the other year did not. So if there's something that we need to go back to 2009, I don't think that's the case, though. I think it's two. So again, we can look at these accounts more carefully and get a detailed listing on it.
So. Let me say something here. I want to apologize to Noah. I believe we interrupted. Did you get your question answered before Michael spoke up?
Well, that's fine. No problem. I was actually just trying to follow up on, I think Mr. Brannon had a good question, just that there isn't a lot of information about the numbers in here that are changing significantly, and I think it would be helpful if there was a very simple public memo that was available to help illustrate where that's coming from for the board and the public, if that could be issued at some point after this meeting.
Could we ask you, Susan, to ask Mr. Crosby to do an addendum to publish with this that would just, like, footnotes?
Yeah.
And just explain them? Okay.
Very good.
That cover you?
Yeah.
Anybody else on this side? Bob.
Michael, any other questions?
No.
I just was teasing. Michael's our board member who is a CEO.
Per our NPDES permit for the treatment plant, we do an external inspection of the outfall on an annual basis. We use Carson Porter Diving, a local diving firm, and they last year had recommended that some of the bolts holding the flanges to the outfall, there's 34 flanges in its entire length at the diffuser structure, that some of the bolts holding those flanges to the outfall pipe needed to be replaced. This year, during their annual inspection on December 12th and 13th, they not only inspected the outfall, but they began replacing some of the bolts holding the flanges together. They actually completed the work on 13 of the flanges, 13 of the 34. Based on the condition of the bolts that came out of those flanges, they're recommending that work be completed sometime in the next few months. It's currently not impacting the performance of the outfall, but it's a preventative maintenance procedure to keep the outfall performing at a high level. We are requesting that the Council and District Board approve an additional $13,000 for this endeavor. It costs approximately $3,850 a day to send the divers offshore with the boat, and we have about $1,500 in material costs. So we're hoping, the estimate I got out of Carson Porter Diving was it would take 2 days with material costs would come in right around $10,000, but we requested a little bit more funding just in the event that they go out there and they don't finish the work in 2 days, that we have the additional funding to complete the work on the outfall. And as a bonus tonight, this year during our inspection process, the water clarity was unusually clear. Most of the time, the visibility around the Inestero Bay is not that clear, but in this instance, when they dove the outfall, they probably had about 40 feet of clarity. So I have an actual video of the outfall if you would like to see it. I've got AGP has queued up a spot, and we can watch a couple minutes. What you're going to see is a diver. You're going to see the diver working his way down the diffuser string from the outboard end toward shore. So what you're seeing right there is a diffuser covered in marine growth, and he's now moving. So there's another diffuser right there with marine growth on it. And you can actually see the water coming out of the pipe. It was a little hard to see there, but that's about what it looks like. And there's the body of the pipe, sand on either side, marine growth. And then, like I say, it's approximately 6 feet between diffusers, and there's one diffuser on
one side, and then it alternates as you go down the string. And there, of the 34 diffusers that we have in the ocean right now, based on the physics of the discharge and the engineering that was done in 82, 83, when the outfall was installed, 28 of those diffusers are open at this time. The six that you can see, the effluent right there, it's really hard to see, but you can kind of see a difference in clarity right there. And this is, like I say, this is probably the best video I've seen of all the videos that we've ever had a chance to look at. And usually you're lucky to see the diver's hand in front of his face. So this was kind of a rare exception. The bolts are actually buried in that marine growth right there. It comes out up about 6 inches to a flange, an 8-bolt flange. And then from that 8-bolt flange, it is a PVC pipe to the rest of the way out. So what they do is they go out and chip off that marine growth, and they actually have to take the bolts out one by one. They don't take them all off at one time, but they just simply replace a bolt at a time, and away they go. It's a little bit, you know, you can imagine doing it 55 feet underwater. It's a little tedious and probably not very easy. That's visual only. And then the quarterly monitoring reports that we do for the offshore survey, they actually do they tow an instrument package over the outfall and look at dilution ratios and the fate and transport of the plume coming off of the outfall. Those reports are actually available on the website under monitoring reports on the wastewater treatment plant portion of the public services page. So that right there is a port that's been plugged. So basically it's just a blind flange. So the diver is moving towards the shoreward end of the pipe right there. And the patch you see there is actually...
When I saw it, I was thrilled. So the item before you is to authorize additional funding to finish the bolt replacement work this year. And with that, I'll open up to questions.
Thanks, Bruce. Any questions on this? Bob?
Any questions? Bruce, is that... We've allocated some money for other maintenance, I want to call it, stuff we didn't anticipate. Is this something we take out of that category, or... is this something we want to create a new item for?
We're requesting additional funding. We have the actual inspection is allocated in the annual budget, and we took the other, I think got it in here someplace. It's about $5,000. It was $8,100, and I think we're like $4,000 or $5,000 of that we absorbed into the current wastewater treatment plant budget. But if we absorb the rest of the costs, we would definitely impact some of the other projects we have. And hoping it'll make the board and council happy that the reason this is in front of you is that our spending limit is $10,000. So to finish this project, we needed to come back to the board and council to get the additional funding approved.
Go ahead. I don't mind.
Cayucas, like to make a motion for approval on this item?
I move we approve the funding.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions, comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mary Yates.
You know, I did it again. I didn't ask for public. Did any of you want to talk to us about this item? I should have done this before we've started the vote, and I apologize again. Somebody make the same motion here, please.
So
second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we'll take a break. I forgot to tell you that Janice Peters gifted this to us on behalf of the Bird Festival. You're all welcome to come back here and get coffee and cookies, and we'll take 10 minutes. Come back to C3. 3, Mr. Delzite.
Thank you. This item is consideration and discussion regarding amendments to Dudek's contract. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I on now?
Yeah, if you pull it right up to your mouth, Dennis, that'd be great.
Okay. Okay. How's that?
Great.
Okay. Thank you. This item is consideration and discussion regarding amendments to Dudek's contract for the coastal appeals process. Following consideration of this item, the City Council and the District Board are requested to approve the proposed amendment to the Dudek contract for the coastal appeals process. Under background and discussion, this project is progressing very successfully. We have received favorable reviews in our discussions and contact with the Coastal Commission. And by favorable reviews, what I'm referring to is in responding to the Coastal Commission's substantial issues that they were concerned with, which was the reason why they took over the jurisdiction of the coastal development permit process. We have not received any rejections of any of the material that has been submitted to the Coastal Commission staff to date. They have asked for additional information, but they have accepted and not rejected any of the analysis that we've submitted so far. Also, I'd like to point out that the project is on schedule. Initially, we were aiming for the February or the April Coastal Commission hearing. Due to a heavy workload of the Coastal Commission, they were unable to review and comment on the material that was submitted to them in time for the February meeting. So we're now targeting, and the Coastal Commission is targeting the meeting for April 12th in Ventura. The work scope in the original contract was based upon the staff report that the Coastal Commission wrote and approved regarding their concern over substantial issues on the city's original coastal permit application. And that was the basis for the contract with Dudek. However, as the process evolved, JPA comments, public input, and Coastal Commission staff expanded on the requirements of the studies. More specifically, it has been emphasized that also Dudek made rough and fine screening status report presentations to the JPA, and in those presentations, comments and suggestions were also received that added to the work scope for services. Thirdly, the Coastal Commission staff's review of the reports included meetings and numerous discussions and resulted in additional work scope as documented in the December 14th, 2011 memo to the JPA. In fact, that was brought up earlier this evening, and as I mentioned, that December 14th, 2011 memo is posted on the website, and a copy of it is attached to the staff report tonight. This is what it looks like. So the work scope has expanded incrementally, and the project has also been on a very fast-moving and aggressive schedule. So combined with that, it has included major changes in the work scope, which is the subject of tonight's request to the JPA. Examples of work scope, major changes include expanding the rough screening analysis to include 17 sites when originally in the contract it was estimated that there would be 10 sites to review in the rough screening analysis. Also, additional information is needed on the highest and best use of the current site. As you may recall, Dudek did an analysis of a boutique hotel possibility as the highest and best use of the current site, and additional information is being requested by coastal staff on that. And a significantly expanded analysis of the water reclamation related issues is part of the expanded work scope. Dudek made every effort to absorb these incremental added work scope changes. while still maintaining the aggressive schedule on the project, they attempted to not stop the project, but to keep the project moving and stay on the schedule so that we would be able to meet our Coastal Commission hearing dates. And it should be pointed out that DUDEC has absorbed approximately $4,200, which was part of expanded information that was necessary relative to the coastal hazard studies. It's the combined total of the $110,000 that is requested in the amendment. So I'd like to go over some numbers very briefly for you. First of all, it is recommended that the JPA ratify the approval of the optional task, approximately $49,000, for the expanded water reclamation analysis. As you know, this has been a major topic since the project began and throughout the coastal appeal process. An additional $17,000 is requested to complete additional information, which would result in an updated 2012 water reclamation feasibility study. As you're aware, there was a 1999 Corollo study that that has been the JPA's guide on water reclamation that's been in use for quite a while. And so one of the outcomes of approving this amendment would be to enable the JPA to have an updated 2012 water reclamation study, which would be current and answer so many of the questions that have been brought up and comments during this process. Additional work required by the Coastal Commission staff is an expanded visual simulation of analysis, approximately $8,500, which would involve visual simulations of the Chevron and the Rigetti sites. Additional information is needed on the highest and best use analysis of the current site, an approximate amount of $4,000. Additional clarifying information regarding tsunami analysis, sea level rise and flooding information, approximately $3,200. And then facilitating additional information with coastal staff, packaging up all of the work and submitting it to the Coastal Commission staff, approximately $6,500. One other item that we do not think is going to be needed at this time, but it's included in the package so that if it's needed, we won't have to come back to you for an additional request, is additional archaeological analysis on the current site. As I mentioned earlier, I had recently had a conversation with the Northern Chumash representative and explained that we would not like to spend any more money on the existing site until we get our coastal development permit. We've been working with him, coordinating so we don't think there's a very big chance that it's going to be required, but it's there if we need it. So in summary, we're recommending approval of DUDEC's amendment request for the following reasons. First and most importantly is the Coastal Commission staff is requesting this additional analysis prior to scheduling the de novo hearing. So basically, we need to have this information or it does not go on the agenda for the Coastal Commission. We're targeting April 12th, but that's not guaranteed until we provide the information that they're now requesting. Secondly, I want to again point out that the evolutionary nature of this work scope, the work scope changes made it extremely difficult for DUDEC to determine in advance just what would be necessary to respond as this process was moving forward at a rapid pace. They did diligently pursue the work in an effort to keep the project on schedule for the de novo hearing. And the MBCSD staff and I are very satisfied with the quality of services provided by DUDEC. And again, we do believe that the Coastal Commission staff has reacted favorably to the draft staff reports. And with that, thank you very much. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Dennis. Questions for Dennis? Carla?
Turned on. Dennis, the water study, the 17,000 was for what study?
The $17,000 will include additional information for the reclaimed water study, addressing a comparative survey. One of the things that the Coastal Commission staff requested, because we did provide cost information in the fine screening report that was presented to you earlier, the Coastal Commission staff said, well, we want you to look at some other jurisdictions and look at their costs of providing reclaimed water and do an analysis, compare them, tell us what the differences are. So that's part of it. Including water and sewer rate impact to Morro Bay and Cayucas users. That's a very important issue because we're talking about some very big possible increases in cost for some of the options that are being evaluated. And also the sensitivity of salts in the recycled water, and it's relative to the safe yields of some of the basins, and do we or do we not have a seawater intrusion problem? So that's what the $17,000 will address.
Okay, which is very inclusive. I thought you had said something about it updating our last study from.
Yes, that combined with the $49,000 that had previously that was included in their optional work scope, the work that has already been done. The combined total of those two will enable them to put together a package so that you will have a separate document, which will be a brand new updated 2012 reclaimed water analysis. That's what the combination of all this will provide you with.
And I guess then my question would be for Bruce or Don, I thought that we had already started working on that. I thought that Mr. Wade had already been working on that. So is that not what you had already started working on?
Good evening. Yeah, we've worked on this as part of the process. What's effectively happened is the scope for the reclaimed water study was originally excluded from UDEC's contract. As we got into the process and in developing the reports and screening the sites, we've been pulling tasks effectively from that optional work task and actually doing them. And what remains is very little to basically finalize and complete it so we have a final, complete, finished document. So we've kind of been doing it piecemeal, and then this represents the remaining work to finalize and complete the work.
So it's what they're doing is in combination with what you've done to complete
the
document?
Yeah, I've been hunting and pecking for information. They've been compiling it and reporting it.
Okay. I just was trying to put the two together, and that's what I didn't know. Thank you.
Nancy? George? No?
Yeah, thank you. Just had a couple quick questions. I'm glad to see that the highest and best use will also include a little analysis of the most simple option for the existing site of expansion of the trailer park operations. That'll be helpful to take a look at that formally. And my question is on page 4 of 8 in attachment 1. It's the fourth bullet point down talking about design concept level infrastructure requirements, looking at transmission, piping, and store Morro Bay's use as Cayucas would no longer need to use that pipeline. And then existing retired infrastructure, unused infrastructure from other industrial projects in the community, historical projects such as power generation and fuel transport and so on. Is that going to be considered in this?
A reconnaissance level a review of those options will be considered. Obviously, a detailed evaluation of the condition of those facilities would be beyond the scope of work, but yes.
But we will, the adaptive reuse concept will be folded into
this.
Yes,
let me quickly scan. Are we? Okay. I'm told that is not in the scope of work. So we're talking about estimating the cost of new pipelines. Okay.
So how then would we actually be able to take a look? It would seem it'd be important for us to be able to consider those adaptive options. And how are we going to be able to look at that if that's not part of this evaluation? Some of those real simple, obvious
concepts that you'd at least want to rule out on a surface level. I'm not saying a full analysis of retired pipelines, but say, for example, the pipe, the trunk line between Cayucas and Morro Bay, if sections of that could be adapted. It would seem like we'd need to address that question, and this appears to be the best place to do that.
Well, I would say that we could get a quotation to amend the proposal for the amendment to include that sort of examination, at least at a reconnaissance level. Let me quickly check. Is that we on the right track? Okay.
I'm interested in that. I think that's an important thing for us to be able to consider. I'm not sure how much that would cost. It would seem like for some of the obvious concepts that have been discussed that shouldn't be a lot of extra work because we have existing information for example, the trunk line. So,
could you give me just a moment?
I'll take a crack at it, too. For example, the trunk line, then those types of reuse or readaptation would become more significant, and you might really take the effort at that time. I wouldn't recommend it at this time because of this is a sort of a coarser look. You're just looking conceptually at where are the users and what would it cost us roughly to get to them. As you move through the design process and you actually were moving forward with that program, then you would really look closer at, is it better for us to dig a new pipeline or to line or modify the one that's there? So that would be my recommendation, is kind of hold off on that.
That makes sense to me. The other thing that I guess I just want to make a statement about that we're not touching on here, but that I still hold a lot of concern about, is with our biosolids composting operation that obviously has been terminated, but there's a lot of value that the community realized by having that operation that we no longer have, and both communities, I should say, were benefiting greatly from that with local stability and self-sufficiency. So I just want to comment on that right now. I understand that we have a lot to look at and consider, and trying to fold that into the mix at the moment will probably confuse things, but I think it's important to bring up that we are being asked to look at information that will give us hopefully a better perspective of what our best choices are and will return value to us. But I think that's one key place where we are not looking and needs to be remaining on our radar as we go forward.
Bob?
Comments from the Cayucas Board? Michael?
Dennis, could you clarify for me, how much of this additional $110,000 is for work that DUDEC has already performed but are seeking additional reimbursement for?
$49,000 has already been done. Approximately $61,000 has not been done.
So the $49,000 has already been done, right? And they did that. And it seems to me that the $17,000, and, you know, I think that they're asking for some of their backup materials. I don't know why we have to pay another $17,000 for that.
Well, I think, to use the word you said, they're asking for expanded information. They've accepted the information that's been submitted so far, but there are additional questions that they'd like to have answered. They want to be sure that all of the questions that the public has presented, all of the input that has been presented at these public meetings, and questions that they know from past experience that the coastal commissioners are likely to ask, they want to be sure that all those are covered. And so it's actually additional information on top of the $49,000 worth of work that is being requested by the Coastal Commission staff.
That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it might be that we made representations in our feasibility analysis as to what water reclamation costs might be, and they're asking us to provide how we got those numbers.
No, I don't think so. In the meeting that we had with them, that was discussed, and they understood where the numbers came from. But there are other jurisdictions that have different numbers. They have different infrastructure systems, different treatment systems, and their users are closer to the treatment plants, and so their infrastructure costs are less. So they're seeing some numbers that look less expensive than the numbers, some of the numbers that we've produced, and they're saying, we need you to explain those because questions have come to them from public input. Why are the numbers different? And so that's part of the additional information that they've requested.
Okay, I will disagree on that. It would seem to me that if we're doing an analysis of what it would cost to recycle water, one of the ways of doing that analysis would be to find out what recycled water costs in other districts that are already doing it. It doesn't seem like that takes a $49,000 or a $17,000 study. The second thing is, could you explain to us what of this reclamation, how does this relate to Cayucas specifically? Is there any water reclamation issues that you were looking at that deals with anything related to Cayucas?
Dylan, would you like to address that?
Yeah, let me jump in there. Dennis doesn't know our system or your system probably as well as I do, so if you don't mind, Dennis. There were specific uses looked at in Cayucas. In the 1999 study, they were found to be not feasible economically as part of this process, and Bill may even want to speak to that a little bit. We pulled that study out and then re-looked at those uses both in Morro Bay and Cayucas. So the answer is yes, that we looked at some of the water supply, re-looked at some of the water supply issues in Cayucas, which are obviously not in the jurisdiction of the CSD, but are germane to the kind of global picture of water reclamation as a disposal methodology. So the short answer is yes, we did look at that. We found that it's obviously probably not going to be the most economically feasible place to deliver reclaimed water.
And so any additional study, is it going to do any analysis of Cayucas?
I believe it will, because they're looking at kind of siting, and they're looking more specifically at the alternative sites, I believe. So.
Well, I'm having trouble establishing a nexus, as came up in the public comment, of whether, you know, a water reclamation issue is within the scope of the authority of the Cayucas Sanitary District. Another couple of public comments.
Rob?
I may have an answer for that. It may not be within the scope of your duties to provide reclaimed water, but the Coastal Commission has made it clear that we need to address that to get a project approved. And until we address that, we're not going to get a project through this Coastal Commission appeals process, so we can't get a plant built until we've addressed it.
Well, excuse me, we can't get a plant built at the site where it's at right now.
We can't get a plant built that we've been directed to pursue by the joint board.
Okay. Anywhere, as long as it's in the
Rob.
The purview of the Coastal Commission. Just a couple of other comments. The You made reference that part of the additional work scope that DUDEC did was handling the volume of the public comments, and you made reference that all of the public comments submitted to DUTEC, you know, were analyzed and addressed as topical comments. And I looked through the appendix of the comments that were submitted, and I really don't find very much work in the feasibility analysis that seems to have addressed those issues. I know the number of sites were expanded from 10 to 17, but other than that, I'm not sure that there was that the unanticipated additional public comments resulted in the project going over budget.
I have a comment in reply to that. In meeting with the Coastal Commission, they did mention to us that they are receiving comments directly as well from the public, and they want to be sure that the comments that they're receiving are answered in our reports. And so even if the comments were answered topically in the reports that DUDEC prepared, some of the questions that came to the Coastal Commission that may have been already answered in the topical comments, the Coastal Commission said we'd like to expand on that some, just so we know that we have this question or this concern fully addressed in the final reports that go to the Coastal Commission.
Okay, and where is the budget amount for that then?
Well, those are actually overlapping and included in a lot of the numbers and the task items that I outlined before.
Okay. The last comment I make is on the McCabe contract. You mentioned in the discussion tonight that you felt that it was important that she come on board now because you asked her, and you know that she needs, that it's a voluminous amount of material and she needs 4 months to get it, to get herself up to snuff. But I just point out that that's exactly the reason that we've already spent $42,000 with her. We've paid her for almost 4 months worth of work, most of which was, I thought, her getting familiar with this project. So it seems like we're kind of double paying for that.
At the time that we did have her on board previously, the analysis were not completed, the rough and fine screening analysis, and so all of this material is new, hundreds of pages of documents and information. So now that we're in the home stretch and we're looking at a tentative hearing date for the de novo hearing, there was a lot of new information that she needed to be brought up to speed on. I would like to make a comment on something a little earlier, too. The Coastal Commission staff has told us that they would not put this item on the agenda until all of the issues that they've requested are analyzed. So it would not even appear on the agenda. If we said put it on the agenda anyway, this is as far as we're going with it, then you could probably speculate and say that it may be placed on the agenda with a recommendation from staff that they deny the coastal permit as was originally approved by the city when the city had jurisdiction of the permit. So those are the forks in the road where we are right now, is to complete and supply the information and analysis that is requested, basically required by the Coastal Commission staff, so they can put it on the agenda.
And that's progressing successfully?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I have a question. On the third page of Dudick's contract amendment proposal, it references the April 12th hearing and potentially an August 12th hearing should a second hearing be necessary. And I was just figuring that in between those two, if such a thing occurred, we'd have a whole other round of these additional things that would be needed to be done. And is there anybody here that could comment on the likelihood of that occurring? And from Dudick, I guess my question to them, I know everybody's happy with their work. I've certainly learned a lot from it. When I came into this, we were right at the point of the initial lobbyist talk and the rebuilding of the plant had been under the planning process for it had been going on for a long time, and so I'm feeling a lot more up to speed now than initially. But is there a point with a client such as us when you look like you're going to have a successful outcome, but you get beat up again between these two dates where Dudick would, I mean, and this is really a question for them, obviously, say, hey, you know what, you guys have been a good client, and then we had a whole other round of this stuff. Is there a point at which you say, okay, we're going to do it, but we're doing it for cost, or we can get a better rate on the last go-around, where I just feel, you know, you cringe when you look at all these things, but you know that in order to do it, you got to do it, so.
Yes, I can answer that question myself, and certainly if Dudick wishes to add or correct anything I've said, they're welcome to. I'm glad you pointed out, because there are no guarantees when you get into the coastal appeal process. Basically, the Coastal Commission is fairly autonomous, and they've taken over jurisdiction of the coastal permit. And if we want to get the permit, we need to work with them and supply the information that they're requesting. As I think we said earlier, we have a staff-level meeting with them that we're trying to schedule for late February. So it's possible that we could even get additional information requirements from the coastal staff at that time. And as you point out, if we go to the Coastal Commission hearing in April, we're hoping that they will act on it in the April meeting, but I think your point's very well taken. If they don't and they say we need more information, we'd like to continue it, then there we are. Subject to additional analysis and additional expense. But that's the nature of being in the coastal process. And in fact, I can't think that centers back around to why we have felt the need to have McCabe and company help us out so we can avoid a continuance of the meeting, and hopefully it will enable the commissioners to understand our project so they can get through this agenda item at the meeting. So in short, if additional work scope items are requested, we are going to come back to you and inform you that we have additional work scope items that are required, and we'll have to deal with it. It's always your prerogative if you want to say yes, then we continue on and we supply it and we get it done. On the other hand, if you think that we've put enough work, effort, and expense into it and take our chances, say no, that's it, then we're done. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Shirley, any comment? Al? Okay, I'd like to hear from the public at some point here.
How about now? Barry, I'd like you to go first. Good evening.
Good evening. Barry Brandon from Morro Bay. I think we'll all agree that one of the reasons we're here where we are is that basically in the early process we had two very clear letters from the Coastal Commission that told us what we really should be doing. And in our process, we chose not to do that. And now we're at the same juncture. We're in a situation where the Coastal Commission has pretty well told us what they want. One of the things that was mentioned earlier is that we have to do what they're going to do. We're not going to get a permit. And one of the requirements that was mentioned is that we need to recycle. So I see in the scope of work that Dudick is proposing that they're proposing an infrastructure to handle 300 acre feet a year. Well, the problem is the city dumps 1,300 acre feet a year in the ocean. So they're asking us not to dump 1,300 acre feet in the ocean. They're asking us to recycle or to clean up 1,300 acre feet a year and put it back in our infrastructure in the Chorro Valley or in the Moro Valley. Unless we write a scope of work that makes sense, asking DUDEC, don't just analyze 300 acre feet, that's a joke. Analyze a process that will meet the Coastal Commission's request as to far to handle the recycle of the product we have. So we're, if I were the Coastal Commission and I saw a report and said, oh, we're going to recycle a third or a quarter of our process, I'd say, you guys are trying to get to us again, and I don't like it. So I think without a scope of work request by our part for the consultant, we're just going to put ourselves in a box, and they're going to come back and say, oh, by the way, we need some more money because this is what you told us to do, but the Coastal Commission says we got to do that. We've got the rules. The Coastal Commission told us what they want. We need to comply with it. And 300 acre feet of recycling a year is not what the Coastal Commission is requesting.
Thank you, Barry. David?
Hi, David Nelson, Morro Bay. Yeah, this is why we're bleeding money. It's because DUDEC did a good job with what they did, but you're not asking the right questions. And you're sending them out to do what your narrow focus is, but knowing full well that, hoping, I guess, that you're going to get something by the Coastal Commission. And you're not going to, because I sent off a letter today to the Coastal Commission, and I know a lot of other people in our community will do that. So you're not going to get away with anything, so we should really do this right, and I don't think you're doing it right. I mean, DUDEC is coming back, as Mr. Foster said, and kind of overdoing the same job that they were told to do in the first place, because we didn't, maybe the question didn't go far enough from the board. I don't know. But this is why we're losing money. They're going to ask for another $100,000 on top of the $400,000 that they've already gotten. And how much work did they do that we're going to just shred? I mean, let's keep track of how much work goes down the drain and stack it up on one side of the table and stack up the good work on the other side of the table so the public can see. Because from my perspective, I agree with Mr. Foster. I read that proposal for DUDEC, and it seemed to me that some of the work that we had asked them to do are going to be overlapped, and they're going to have to redo it. And who's responsible? Them? I don't know. You? I don't know. But that's the problem. When the public doesn't know, we're going to ask questions. And, you know, if I believe that you're going to put something bad in our town that's not going to be what it should be for whatever cost, I'm going to take the other side, and I'll be one of the people that lobby the Coastal Commissioners myself. I mean, it's not hard to do. I mean, I don't know why everybody thinks it is. They listen if you bring the right information and hand it to them. So when you start doing these proposals, let's get the wider view of it and take some of the comments that come from your own board and think about them, because you're not, and it's costing us a lot of money.
Thank you, David. Al?
Good evening, everybody. Pretty civil meeting. Congratulations.
You state your name for the record, please, Al.
I'm an affordable housing advocate, and I
can you state your name for the record, please?
Alfred Barrell. And as an affordable housing advocate, I'm also a renter in Los Osos, which is part of the Central Coast community here. And this community is a low-paying community, so cost and spending and cost control is critical, because the more you spend, the higher the monthly income, monthly cost is going to be for the sewer rate. So I have some friends that are property owners. They are property managers here, and they manage 300 or 400 properties. And they're trying to keep their costs down, because there's only a certain level of income for working class people that they can qualify for. So I think, I don't know how much focus is done on cost and related to what you get for what you spend, but I'd like to know, and maybe this is not for this agenda item, and what is your cost goal per month going to be when you get done with this project? So those are some of the things. Just average income for the county is $10 an hour. Your harbor workers are getting $10 an hour. You know, to get people to pay, and the rate goes up, water rates are going up, all of that, you definitely need to save all the water that you can, because it's going to get more and more expensive. So the reuse element, I think, is really critical. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Marla?
Can I get something on the overhead?
They will help you out.
Hello again, Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. This meeting has been so void of actual content that the public can get a hold of. The report by Mr. Delzit on this, and repeatedly saying that the Coastal Commission has not rejected our work that we put into them, is not at all in line with what the Coastal Commission minutes from the December 9 meeting say, and what Mr. Delzit is telling the public here. There's two extremely different points of view. On the overhead over here, and I'd like people at home to look at this, if you'd really like to get some real information about what's going on, you can go to the Slow Coast Journal. It's an e-journal online. You can go, there's an article there, a recent article that gives a very complete comparison of Mr. Delzit's report to the JPA board, and also an analysis of what the CCC staff comments were and what the minutes show at the December 9 meeting, the meeting that Mr. Delzit is telling us went so well, and that they were so happy with us. It's just not true, Mr. Delzit. Maybe it's true in some mind you have that somewhere else besides in this room and somewhere else besides in the homes of the people that live in Morro Bay and Cayucas. And I don't know where that is. If you have a place that you'd like to show us that we don't know about, we'd be free to take a tour. But right now, as it is, you're looking pretty ridiculous over there for anybody who actually looks at what is occurring. We're being hoodwinked. We've been hoodwinked. We continue to be hoodwinked. And there's plenty of articles for people in our area. Besides the Slow Coast Journal, you can go to the Rock of the Coast. There's a recent article in there about the money that's being spent at $2.2 million without extra costs already spent on a project that should have been done long ago.
Thank you, Marla. Richard.
Excuse me, could I interrupt one quick minute before we continue?
You may.
In reading the agenda at the beginning here, it says, All remarks shall be addressed to governing bodies as a whole, not to individual members. And this governing body requests that you refrain from making slanderous, profane, or personal remarks. Sounds to me like some of these comments are getting far too personal and, in many cases, inaccurate. I apologize for interrupting.
No apology required. You have the First Amendment, right, just as Marla does. But your time is finished. And
she does have a First Amendment, right?
There is no point of order, Marla.
What you request is not a law.
Thank you. Richard.
Richard Margetson, Cayucas. Page 3 of 4 of, I guess it would be Mr. Delzite's report. This is such deja vu for me. Consultants do work. If it's not accepted or if additional work is required, it's always somebody else's fault, and the cost is borne by the community. And I'm just going to give the examples under the bottom section of additional work task A, B, C, D, the bottom ones at the bottom of the pages. Expanded visual simulation analysis, $8,470. Was the initial visual simulation not done properly? Additional highest and best use analysis for the current site. Obviously, there must have been some information provided. If it wasn't appropriate or it wasn't accepted by the Coastal Commission, isn't it their responsibility to provide that at their expense? C, clarify and provide additional tsunami analysis, sea level rise and flooding information. Additional information. Why wasn't that part of, they knew, if they're experts, they know the Coastal Commission process and they know how demanding those commissioners are going to be and staff is going to be, unless this is the first project they've ever brought before the Coastal Commission. It's an expanded process. They look at every bit of information. And this community and Cayucas is absorbing these costs again. And then D is the same thing. Facilitate additional information exchange with coastal staff. That's because of this additional work. Why are we paying for this additional time for them to interact with them? If they didn't provide appropriate or enough information up front, that's their responsibility to make up that difference. You're not going to do anything about it because you want to get to the April 12th hearing. And you think it's a slam dunk because Coastal Commission hasn't given any adverse comments to Mr. Zelzite. Has anybody been following what happened in Cambria? They sent one person thinking it was a slam dunk from Cambria staff. And where is their project right now?
Thank you, Richard. Would you like to go next? Maybe Mrs. Cutter.
What happened?
Do you break our microphone? AGP, can you give a hand here, please? We're going to help you out, Betty.
Okay. Is this all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine. Okay. Anyhow, my name is Dorothy Cutter.
Dorothy, I'm so sorry.
And, my understanding is that the Coastal Commission staff has said that you cannot put the new plant in the same location as the old plant. So this is a very naive question, I'm sure, with all this talk about thousands here and thousands there. But where is the new plant going to go? If you can't put it, all I've heard is that you're still talking about putting it in the same location. You're spending all this money. So where is the new plant going to go? Thank you.
Thank you. Jack, good evening. Don't break it.
My name is Jack McCurdy, resident of Morro Bay. In a letter dated December 8, 2008, the Coastal Commission staff said to the city, when it was preparing its notice of proposal for developing a plant. It states that the notice states that the wastewater treatment plant will be capable of tertiary treatment, and that the resultant water will be discharged to the city's ocean outfall near Mora Rock. It is our understanding that tertiary treated wastewater with additional sanitation / purification can potentially be used for irrigation, wetlands enhancement, or reinjection into deep water aquifers and potentially other uses. The EIR should identify a suite of potential beneficial uses for this treated water, along with any additional infrastructure and processes that would be intended to reclaim this potential source of water relative to various alternative beneficial uses. Then on a letter dated November 12, 2010, the Coast Commission staff said the DEIR proposal does not include a plan for water reclamation that meets the expectations of the City of Mora Bay Local Coastal Plan, the San Luis Obispo County Local Coastal Plan, or recent actions of the Commission, including in its recent approval of the Los Osos Wastewater Project. The use of state water is extremely energy intensive and has significant environmental impacts far removed from Mora Bay, including impacts on fish and other species in the Delta. These and other state water concerns highlight the general issue associated with ensuring that appropriate measures are taken to move towards and ensure a local, sustainable water supply. Therefore, the LCP clearly requires the city to pursue water reclamation as part of the wastewater treatment plant. Obviously, Mora Bay and Cayucas have been fully aware for at least the last three years that you would be required to develop plans for a new plant that would have the capacity to generate enough disinfected tertiary water to serve the two communities virtually completely. Those are almost verbatim words out of the letter, virtually completely. But a majority of you have done nothing but avoid and obstruct compliance with those requirements, causing endless delays and costing taxpayers hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, in wasted time and contracts. The amount may never be known. It's been a wasted time, and many of us believe this represents a blatant failure to serve the best interests of residents who are your constituents.
Thank you, Jack. Who'd like to go next? Anybody else? Anyone? Going once? Going twice? Back to the board. Thank you all. Could you help out with a few of these questions that have been raised? The first one being the 300 acre feet versus the 1,300 acre feet in the recycle?
Yes.
Like a jack in the box right there.
Make sure I'm on. yes, in earlier rough and fine screening analysis of the potential for reclaimed water, it was determined that the 300 acre feet per year is a realistic target. In fact, on page 4 of 8, it does say that it is noted that secondary effluent and advanced water treatment alternatives were not considered economically viable in prior studies, and it is assumed that further development of those alternatives will not be required at this time. So, in essence, it was the determination that in order to not restudy things that have already been restudied, to narrow it down to 300 acre feet per year based upon the prior studies that have already been done.
But we are producing 1,300 acre feet? So, the question still kind of lingers.
That's equivalent to the...
Here comes Dylan to the rescue, Dennis.
Plant effluent volume.
Bruce doesn't typically measure in acre feet. His average daily demand is approximately 1 million gallons per day. Just for the sake of discussion, assume that that's it. Our average daily potable water demand is very similar, approximately a million gallons a day depending. So in terms of acre feet, in 2010, the city of Mora Bay produced and used about 1,250 acre feet. 300 acre feet represents approximately a quarter of that demand, or all of our outdoor non-potable water demand. So it's a very large and very aggressive percentage in terms of what we're using for our water. It would be against the law to reuse our effluent for direct reuse. So you would have to then consider basically disposal options outside of the city of Morro Bay. So you could look at recharge if you were looking for the full 1,300 acre feet. You could look at wetland enhancement. But in terms of actually offsetting potable water demand, 300 acre feet is approximately what's a realistic number.
Okay. That answered it for me. Thank you. Richard, I don't know what happened to Richard. In the back. Nobody here thinks that anything with the Coastal Commission is a slam dunk. That's why we're doing all this work. So if you're under the impression that we think that this is a slam dunk or this is a done deal, that's about as far away from the truth as we can get. I'll just start with you, Noah, and go down. Go ahead.
Well, my only comment is in response to Mr. Wade's comments regarding the 300 acre feet a year and the percentage for potable water use within the city. I think it's pretty clear from Coastal's comments through the last years that they're expecting us to do go beyond that, and that reuse outside of the city limits is very much on the table from their perspective. And I think if we limit the scope of this to just that 300 acre feet, we're going to be missing the requirements from Coastal Commission and getting ourselves back in the situation where we're going to need to open the books again, write a new check to get the study done further. So my suggestion is that we expand that scope and escalate it to consider all levels of reclamation quantities so that we can take a look at those options and realistically make some decisions off of that rather than shooting for the low end or the low end of the full scale.
Okay, let's return to that. George? Nancy? Bob?
Questions from Cayucas? Comments? Michael?
Yeah.
Tim, respectfully, Tim. I'm sorry, it's very distracting. Go ahead. Tim, if you don't mind, it's very distracting, your talk there. He doesn't get it. Go ahead, Andy.
I know these contracts are difficult to estimate time. They inevitably seem to run into cost overruns. One thought that I had was maybe we get DUDEC to, rather than estimate one more round of a scope of work, what would they charge us as a fixed fee to see this through completion through the Coastal Commission, regardless of the time that it takes? And that might be a measure of testing the temperature of how much confidence they have in this project and in their own analysis.
Dan, comment? Shirley? Al? No? Okay, first I'd like to thank April Winnecke and Allison Evans for showing up. I understand you had quite a drive to get here, a little countryside touring due to some unfortunate accident on the highway. Thank you for being here. You obviously, if you would like to comment on anything that's been said in this regard, certainly now would be a good time. Then I would thank Mr. Delzite for doing a tremendous job. I think we have to recognize that this is a process. It's not well defined. We do not control what questions the Coastal Commission staff ask or the commissioners themselves want answers to. I believe to this date, DUDEC has done a tremendous job in getting us prepared to go to meet with the coastal staff and getting us prepared to go to the Coastal Commission. I was not pleased to find that they had spent $49,000 without an approval from us. Having said that, I'm confident that had they come to us and said the Coastal Commission wants you to redo the reclamation study, we would have had no choice but to say please do so and send us the bill. And that's how I see what's going to happen here in the near future. And DUDEC has been kind enough to try to estimate what those costs are and what questions the Coastal Commission staff has already asked, and perhaps anticipate some of the questions that will need to be answered here in the next few months. I wasn't clear, and Dennis, maybe you can help me with this. These figures that DUDEC has listed for these tasks, the costs, is that a fixed price proposal from them to do that work?
No, those are not to exceed upper limits.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I wasn't clear on that. So I don't think that, unfortunately, the Coastal Commission can go on asking questions and we can keep on paying, just I think as the public has commented. But I'd also point out that a lot of the questions that are being asked are the result of people coming up to this microphone through the public comment period, through the appeals process, through the workshops that we've opened to the public. And through that process, we've wound up having to spend a lot of money to answer a lot of questions. So sometimes I think we need to look in the mirror as to why we had to spend the money. I have no problem with...
Please.
I have no problem with the work that DUDEC has done. I'm very pleased with their performance. And I'm in a position here to move on and approve this request, and hopefully we can meet the demands of the Coastal Commission. And with that, I'd ask Cayucas for a motion to approve staff recommendation on this item. It's listed on Mr. Delzite report if someone would like to read it.
You can just move to approve. Works.
Make a motion.
You can just move to approve.
Yeah, you can just move to approve staff recommendation if you want.
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other comments or questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
One no. Mayor Yates.
Hear the same motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
I would just want to add that I appreciate the public testimony, and I find it disheartening when members of the community make statements, accusatory statements of dishonesty from members that are working for them. I think it's really a digression of where the meeting goes.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. C4, Dennis? Is there anything we need to discuss there? You didn't get addressed there, but you know, the motion happened.
I'm sorry, second Thursday as usual, but I'm sorry I don't have the date for that.
I mean, we don't need to take any action on that, right?
No.
Okay, anything else from Morro Bay?
Anything else from Cayucas? Seeing none, Mary Yates?
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.